This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
It's week three of the official Raiders podcast. I'm your host, JT. A lot to get to as the Raiders are in Nashville taking on the Tennessee Titans in week three. A lot to get to in this week's podcast, the quarterback of the Silver and Black, Derek Carr, John Madden's commentary, halftime of the last game for Ken Stabler and the tribute to Ken Stabler, and Blaine Bishop, one of the best Titan safeties to ever play, all going to join us today. We begin with what happened last week at the Coliseum as the Raiders fell to the Falcons by a score of 35-28. And the game was emotional. It had everything. The home opener for the Silver and Black coming off that incredible win in week one against the New Orleans Saints. Momentum was with the Raiders, who were expected to win the game. But you got to tip your cap to the coaching staff, the players, and the Atlanta Falcons came in and won a big game on the road against the Raiders. The takeaway from that game, obviously, we'll get to, is the Raider defense is struggling. And Jack Del Rio talked about it all week. There will be changes made via personnel and the decisions and the philosophy and how to coach these players back up so they can win this game against the Titans. The good news for the Silver and Black is the offense continues to roll as the receivers and Derek Carr had another big game. But in the fourth quarter, it went back and forth, and the Raiders ran out of time, and Matt Ryan and the Falcons got out of Oakland back on that plane, and they're also 1-1 on the year. So the Raiders threw two games. What do we know about the Silver and Black? Well, their offense has been outstanding, and their defense has been struggling. And for the coaching staff, Ken Norton Jr., the defensive coordinator, and Jack Del Rio, they spent the majority of this week talking about how to clean it up and how to fix it so the Raiders would be better off in the upcoming weeks. And I have a lot of confidence that they'll be able to do that, because Jack Del Rio understands, as a former linebacker, and so does Ken Norton Jr., that the key is going to be setting up these players and putting them in the right protection, putting them in the right spot so they can make more plays. Because quite frankly, they're not capable of doing that in the first two games of the season, and they have to improve here. The defense ranks dead last in the NFL, giving up 517 yards a game. The pass defense, dead last in the NFL at 404 yards. So that's unacceptable. Jack Del Rio owned it in the press conference after last game. He said, bring it to me instead of my players. And I give Del Rio a lot of credit for owning it, because he has to do that. And for Ken Norton Jr., I think he understands that he's got to do a better job with personnel, substitutions, getting players in the right spots so they're able to get in their gaps, tackle better, and continue to play at a high level. The Raider offense ranked number one in the NFL, 470 yards a game. And the rush offense, 161 yards a game, is second overall. Points per game, 31.5. If you look at all of this, I think there are a lot of positives as we move forward. The Raiders' offense seems to be clicking, and the defense, as they move players around, Carl Joseph comes in, they make substitution patterns on the defensive line. I think you'll see a better defense. Hey, the only way the defense can go is up and improving, because you have to improve from the statistics that they've been putting up. Now the Tennessee Titans are ready, and they won a miraculous game. They were down. It looked like they were finished in Detroit. And Detroit had first and goal at the one. Then it was first and goal at the 31-yard line. They could have put the game away. Marcus Mariota in the fourth quarter was fantastic. They came back into this game at Detroit and won to get to 1-1 on the year. For the Titans, they're in the middle of the road overall with their stats, but they have an aggressive ground game. We saw Derrick Henry and what he can do in the preseason. We saw how nasty that offensive line and defensive line is. And remember, the Raiders have struggled with misdirection plays, where a play starts one way, the way Kyle Shanahan drew it up for the Falcons, and then the tight end comes across the middle of the field. Well, Tennessee's got a great tight end, and they got a quarterback in Marcus Mariota who can make plays outside the pocket. So the Raiders have their hands full in this game. Forget about the records here. The next two games with the Titans and obviously the Baltimore Ravens, on paper, I think the Raiders have the better roster. But coming into this game, they're going to have to find a way to win, and I hope get big leads in this game. By opening up the offense with Bill Musgrave, hopefully the Raiders are playing from ahead instead of from behind, and they can put one of these teams away early. So this was an exciting week for me as I kicked off a new radio show in San Francisco on 95.7 The Game. I'm their new host Monday to Friday from 10 a.m. to noon. I'll be talking to quarterback Derek Carr every week on the radio, and I wanted to share that with you this week as the quarterback of the Silver and Black joined me on the radio, and here he is on the official Raiders podcast. Derek Carr, and Derek, let's jump right in here. I want to talk about leadership, which I think is one of your many calling cards. With the defense struggling and you and the offense having another really good game, how do you show leadership on the other side of the ball with the defense?
Yeah, you know, one thing about this team is that we always stay together. And so we know that sometimes we're going to have their back, sometimes they're going to have our back. And we know that that's how the NFL season goes. You know, that goes for every team, you know, and that's just how it goes sometimes. And so we're not worried about them at all. We see them out there at practice every day working their tails off. We see them making plays, every single day. So there's not a lot of worry on our end. But the biggest thing, leadership-wise, is to make sure that everyone's staying together, everyone's confident, and that we're all still going out there working our tails off.
And I think that's key moving forward as we get to the Titans coming up, as we look back at the Falcons, is leadership really isn't a question with this team, with the veterans on the defensive side, the coaching, you as the quarterback. So keeping everybody together, putting a loss behind you, ready for preparation, shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, it shouldn't be a problem for us. Khalil, myself, you know, the guys that were around a couple of years ago, we started out 0-10, and we made a decision then and there. No matter what happens, we're always going to be the same people, win or loss. We're going to practice the same way. We're going to study the same way. And I think that a couple of years of doing that has made this situation for us going to today and tomorrow very easy.
Derek Carr is our guest. Emotionally, these two games, for you, you're an emotional player. The two-point conversion at New Orleans will be with you the rest of your career, let alone the rest of your life. And this game, the home opener, also very emotional. Sold out, the fans there, the Stabler tribute at halftime, and you're trying to dig out of this hole late in the fourth quarter. How are you handling just the pure emotion surrounding this job that you have every game?
Yeah, you know, I think that's what you prepare for in the offseason. You know, when you work hard and the workouts get tough and those get emotional and you got to grind through it and those things. All of those things prepare you for, you know, reasons, you know, like this, for games like this. You know, the NFL is crazy. You know, 99% of the time it's going to be a close game and come down to the wire, you know, with one or two plays going here or there. So, you know, we know that, and we know that, going into it, and it helps being in my third year because I understand that now.
Derek Carr is our guest. Clearly, Clive Walford and Lee Smith combined for 10 receptions. Was that the game plan going in, especially on that first drive, to get the tight ends involved to open up the game for Crabtree and Cooper?
You know, that's always something that we want to do. You know, it's always something that we like to do, is get them involved early. That way it can open up for the other guys. But honestly, it just happened to go that way. You know, the reads just took me there, and that's just the way it kind of played out. You know, they did a good job of playing really soft on the back end, so you couldn't throw it over the top. I tried a couple times, but they just play really soft, you know, coverage. And so they try and keep everything in front of them, which opens things up for our tight ends, and I thought they did a good job of making plays for us.
Yeah, I wanted to get to that because I thought Atlanta's secondary was really good, especially on the corners with their bump and run when they had to go man-to-man. Clearly, I'm sure you want to tip your cap to those guys. That defense was well-coached, and they brought it at a high level yesterday.
Yeah, I really do. You know, that obviously the coaching staff, we know, they've done great things for a long time, and we all know that. And those players, man, those players, it's my first time playing against those guys. And, really well-coached, very talented. You know, I think that 21 and 23 are really good corners. I think that they're going to be the really good corners for a long time. You know, I really do. And those safeties, you had a hard hitter. And 36, 37 was in the post, very fast back there on the back end. So I think that they just did a great job the whole time.
What's it like for you when you see all the depth at running back? It's nice to know that you have now a three-headed, maybe four-headed monster when it comes to short yardage and young, energetic backs that could take it 30, 40 yards at any given time.
Yeah, you know, it's really nice, you know, to have. You know, it's really, really nice to have. You know, I think that in every single game, obviously Latavius is Latavius. You know, he's our guy. He's the one that, you know, leads the show. And to have those guys be able to come in when, you know, needs a break or to take a carry off his shoulders, you know, they can come in and be very, very productive. You know, we saw know, Jalen had a big one that got called back. DeAndre had a big one in a backed up situation for us that pushed the ball down, more towards midfield. And, Mays, obviously, we know what Mays can do. And that's all with Marcel not even being here, I think that our backfield, in the running back room and with the fullbacks, I think it's one of the best, around, from top to bottom.
The Derek Carr Show on 95.7 The Game. As we wrap this up, what do you want to tell the fans today who want to see the offense open up more? Because we're seeing a pattern after two games where the Raiders look that like they're going to have to win games in shootouts until the defense gets fixed. So as you're trying to move the ball down the field and look for those opportunities, Derek, over the top, you're going to have to take what the defense gives you. But fans are starting to tell me and on social media that the way the team can win over the next couple of weeks is get out ahead by 7, get out by 14, explode in the first 5 minutes of the game instead of trying to dig out of a hole. But I guess that's just what you see in front of you and what the time and distance looks like and play calling that comes in from Bill Musgrave.
That's exactly right. I mean, you get it. You hit on the head. There's so much that goes with every single play. It's not just a random play, just thrown out there. Yesterday, they just played really soft coverage. That's just what they did. And, we had our shots. We talked about it all week. You have to be very patient with this defense or you're going to get into trouble. I remember playing the Seattle-type defense my rookie year, and I was trying to be aggressive early on and ended up throwing two picks in the first half. And then in the second half, I said, hey, let's be a little patient, and let's move the ball. Then when the shot's there, you take it. And I really learned from that experience. And that's what the mindset was going into this one was, you have to be very patient with this defense, and then when the shots are there, like Clive's, like Poop, we hit them. We had three or four shots. You have to hit them, and that's just the style of that defense. And every game is different, But I'm always going to be aggressive. You don't have to worry about that. I'm always aggressive when I play the position, but also I'm being very smart to make sure that the ball's always in our hands.
Let's end this with the Titans. From looking at them in the preseason, knowing that they're a team that likes to run the football, for you, that looks to be another very physical, nasty defense. That offensive line and defensive line really looks rough and tough. What did you learn from them in the preseason as you prep for them this week?
Yeah, the same thing you just said. They're very tough, very physical. That's pretty much like all these defenses, in the NFL. They're always physical. But they're very tough, fly around. Obviously, they're very well coached, with that defense coordinator and that defense staff that they have. You can tell they're very well coached and smart, but they have a lot of talent. And, I just got done watching them a little bit, preparing for them this morning. You know your keys that you have, your reads that you have, and obviously with it being the regular season, they're going to throw something different at you. But you got to be prepared for that. And going into it, I think we will be.
Well, I'm happy you ended on that, Derek, because your preparation is amazing. And it was interesting, Rich Gannon called the game on TV, and I never saw a guy get in earlier and stay late since you've been back here. And clearly, Ken Stabler, the tributes to him, and all the great Raider quarterbacks before you, it really is about preparation and putting a loss behind you and doing everything you can to get the next victory. And I know a lot of Raider fans are excited that you're coming on with us every week. I greatly appreciate it. And go get the Titans. The Raiders want to get back in the win column again. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much. God bless and go Raiders, man.
Joining us on the official Raiders podcast, one of the best safeties ever to play for the Oilers and then the Titans, Blaine Bishop joins us. Blaine, thanks for doing this. We really appreciate it.
Oh, man, anytime. Whenever you got the chance to play the Raiders, it's always an exciting time.
No doubt about it, in a big game. I want to, before we preview the Raiders from your perspective, you had a phenomenal career and a four-time Pro Bowler, a three-time All-Pro. You were one of the hardest-hitting safeties of your era. And I just want to start off with your philosophy as a football player and how the game is changing. Because you were a guy who could tackle anywhere on the field. Do you like the changes that we've seen in the league over the last couple of years? Or are you one of those guys cut from the cloth that wants to see hardcore football, more tackling, and keep those flags out of there?
Well, I know I would probably have in my contract for every fine that the organization would pay for, that's for sure. I think the league is trying to make a conscious effort to make the game safer. I think a lot of guys, including myself, that played in my era would probably have to change a little bit on how they play and make sure you keep your head up and lean with more your shoulder pads than your actual helmet. So I feel like my helmet from doing all my neck exercises was really strong, so I could use it as a weapon. So I don't think I would recommend that to anybody in this day and age. But you can still see some big hits with some guys using shoulder pads. I see some guys constantly making an effort. It would probably been a tough transition in the moment to do it, but if you went into the league at this point, I think it would be a much easier transition, and some of the guys probably have to change how they play, and probably would have changed, maybe become more of a ball hawk guy, because I thought that was the only way I could get into the league was to be a headhunter.
Blaine Bishop is our guest. You're on the Titans Radio Network, and walk me through that win at Detroit. It really looked like the Lions were ready to put that game away as they had first and goal on the one, and then they went backwards, and that gave the Titans an opportunity to get back in that game and have a great fourth quarter comeback. Walk us through the fourth quarter from your perspective and how important it was for the team to come together and have such a great win on the road.
Great points. I guess first and foremost, let's start with the Titans' defense holding Detroit to field goals in the red zone. I think that was very vital. That kept the Titans in the game in the fourth quarter. I felt like Detroit dominated pretty much the whole game. A flag field, penalty called game by the referees. I think over 300 yards of penalties on both teams combined. And a lot of touchdowns brought back. And it really kept the Titans in the game. And then the last drive in the fourth quarter, Mariota got hot. Kind of went no huddle and went 9 for 9 or 9 for 10 or something like that, and really was connecting and made a great throw to Andre Johnson, who didn't even play really very much at all in the game, and it was his only catch. Made a laser beam throw. I don't even know if I would have recommended throwing that ball, but he did, and he caught it, and it was a touchdown, and it put Detroit in a catch-up mode with about a minute left, and then they got an interception by Paris Cox, who had a horrible day. He not only was picked on for pass interference, caught a touchdown on him, missed tackles, but he also was run over by Matthew Stafford, clear as day. So I'm sure he's going to get a lot of rising by his teammates on that. But he did show some resiliency, and I think that's what the whole team did by getting the pick to, close out the game at the end. And that's what the team shows, that they got some mental toughness and they believe they can win. And Malarkey and John Robinson, the GM, have really, set the tone there in the locker room that this is a new team, this is a new era, and that this is the new Titans, and that we can beat anybody on any given day.
Yeah, I see that. I see this as one of the tougher and bigger and stronger stout teams up front, as we're talking to Blaine Bishop here from the Titans Radio Network, former great safety in the NFL. Let's talk about the strength of the Titans and clearly Delanie Walker and what they do at the tight end position. The Raiders have struggled against the tight end. Atlanta came into Oakland and won that game, attacking the middle of the field. How good is Delanie Walker, and how difficult of a matchup is he for linebackers and safeties in this league?
Man, he's a tough matchup. He can run intermediate routes. He's a great run after catch. And I think, surprisingly, even last year, he surprised me with his speed. When he gets in the open field, I mean, he has some burners. He has another gear. I call it the downshift gear, and he can take it to a whole nother level. He beat a cornerback that was man-to-man or at deep third, let's say, but it was only him over there in the corner. And he beat him on a 35-yard touchdown in the Detroit Lions game. So it's a guy that can cause havoc. I think they made a conscious effort versus Detroit to make sure they got him involved early. They kind of didn't do that in the first game, and he kind of had a big day. And I think he can do that every week. I think he's just a tough matchup for a lot of teams, whether it's the safety or the linebacker. I think you're going to have to start doubling him. As he showed last year when he was the only guy that really was a vertical threat for the Titans. People start, double-teaming him, and he still went to the Pro Bowl and still had a lot of catches. So I think that's what's going to start happening, and then they're going to force the wide receivers to make some big plays. I think that's where they're kind of limited. They still don't have that deep threat and big play receiver, but they got some young guys, Tajay Sharp and Matthews and veteran Harry Douglas, as well as Andre Johnson. So the mix of veterans and young players, but they're still missing that deep threat, that they need to open up the offense.
Blaine Bishop joins us. Yeah, I think the Raiders' concern, and it should be rightfully so, is DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry, obviously the great tight end that you just talked about, and Marcus Mariota being a mobile quarterback who can throw the ball downfield. Tell me about the running back position and this two-headed monster. The Raiders saw him in the preseason, and Henry really looks strong and big in those shoulder pads. When he's running downhill, he is a bull, difficult to stop. And talk about the touches and the how they distribute the football to two guys who really want the ball all the time.
Yeah, I really thought that was going to be a great issue, even when they drafted Henry, when we traded for Murray. And they really have done an excellent job of balancing that. And they're on the field a lot together, too, at times. Spreading the field, to having two backs in the backfield, running the read option. They've done multiple things already in two games, let alone in the preseason, that they can be on the field at the same time. And Murray and Henry both have shown they can be pass catchers. They can impact the game, not only run the football, but passing. Their whole identity is that they want to run the football and be a physical, smash-em-out team. And Murray got off to a 67-yard run against Detroit. I think that was his second longest run in his career since his rookie year. So they've shown that they're going to be physical and they're going to be patient, but yet they're going to, change the tempo and sometimes go no huddle. It's really interesting. And Marcus seems to do better with, at least from visually, for two games, for what that's worth, that he gets into a better rhythm, which most quarterbacks do, because then he's in control of the whole offense and he probably is more comfortable because that's kind of what he did at Oregon. So he's a threat to run as well as passing, but he's learning now when to run and learning how to slide. So it'll be very beneficial that he continues that process and growing and maturation as a quarterback in his second season in the NFL.
Blaine Bishop joins us, the great safety, now part of the Titans radio network. The Raiders have the number one offense in football. What concerns do you have with stopping Amari Cooper, Crabtree, and Derek Carr, who's having an outstanding year and is also a deep threat for the Silver and Black?
I mean, you just named them all. I mean, man, their offense is pretty impressive, what they've done through two games. And then you watched the game last year, which was a close game here in Nashville. I think they got a pass interference there to then continue their drive to go for the winning touchdown there to win the game last year. But Carr, he's turned the corner. He's on that elite level playing as a quarterback. And, he's got some weapons, man, let alone the running game. So it's going to be a tough feat. I don't know what the Titans' plan will be because he has a quick release. He gets rid of the ball, strong arm. He can throw deep. I think their strength is actually the Titans' weakness, which is the secondary, I think. And you don't put pressure on any quarterback and make him feel uncomfortable. At least hopefully he misses some throws, and he's going to make some plays, with their receivers. But you got to live for another down, and hopefully you win more than you lose.
Blaine, what I think is interesting with these two franchises, as we wrap it up, you went to that Super Bowl with your teammates, and it was one of the great tight Super Bowl games played. And after you lost that, it's been a struggle for the Titans to get back there again. And the same with the Raiders, who beat the Titans in the AFC Championship, went to a Super Bowl, and it's been over a decade where they've struggled often trying to turn it around. So both teams, and fan bases especially, have been waiting for some good news. There's been other coaching staffs and revolving doors, but now both organizations seem really stable and poised to make great returns back to the postseason.
Oh, I would completely agree with that. Both of them are on that cusp of turning that corner. With Amy Adams shrunk here as now the controlling owner with the Titans, it seems like it's a whole new organization this season. And with John Robson, all the things they've done to the stadium, to the practice facility, all the changes, and man, it feels like everything is just new, and I'm sure the Raiders, with the success they're having, they've turned the corner. I think they're probably a year ahead of the Titans because of the quarterback situation. But it's an exciting time for the fans. You just, hopefully that they win more than they lose and that they win some of those close games, because that's, that's what the NFL is all about. Everybody's kind of right there in the middle of the road, and the team doesn't turn the ball over enough or get a couple breaks. I call it a little luck. At the time the ball bounces your way, then you can win some of those close games. And then next thing you know, anything can happen if you make the playoffs.
All right, Blaine, finally, give me a Raider story. I know there was something there with you. Back in the day, you got to have one going up against the Raiders. Give me one.
Yeah, I really don't have any big Raiders. I wish I did, though, because we didn't play a lot when I was with the Oilers and the Titans. We played a couple times, but never any big-time stories. Naturally going against Tim Brown, he was a guy that, you know, was tough to stop. I think he beat us in overtime. Then when we were in Memphis, we had to play in Memphis for a year. Our first year, mm-hmm. we moved in Tennessee. He got us down the gut on the overtime win. But other than that, nah, I don't have any. I hit Napoleon. I think it was Napoleon Kaufman, maybe.
Yeah.
At the top of his head on my with my forearm, and I played the whole game with a broken forearm. Had no idea.
That's a good story. That's a Jack Youngblood type story for you, playing with a broken forearm.
Yeah, I think I might have done it maybe third quarter. I'm not going to say I played the whole game, but I hit the his helmet, and you know, I thought I had a bruise on my forearm because it was a knot. And I'm still on the sideline, and the trainer was like, "Blaine, let me look at your arm there." And he grabs my hand and twisted and said, "Oh, you broke your forearm." I said, "Man, get out of here with that, man. That ain't break my forearm." I said, "Well, I can tell you what. I'm going back in this game, and when the game's over, we can attend to it then. Because if I played this long with it, there's no need to try to fix it." So, yeah, I guess that's probably my only Raider story.
Awesome. Hey, you really made a great addition to us here. Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. Good luck with everything you're doing. Sounds like the radio's going well. You had a hell of a career. Thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it, Blaine.
Appreciate it, guys. Anytime, man. Anytime.
Take care. There he is, Blaine Bishop, joining us on the official Raiders podcast. What a player he was. Fantastic. One of the toughest hitters out there. And I wanted to wrap up this moment with the podcast this week for something also very emotional on the way out. I had the pleasure of emceeing halftime for the Ken Stabler celebration in the home opener, and it has stayed with me since. And I wanted to share a portion of it with you on the official Raiders podcast. We're going to end with John Madden. This was halftime as Coach Madden took the microphone talking about his great quarterback, Ken Stabler, and what he meant to the Raider organization, now the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame coach, we end with John Madden.
You know, I'm sitting here in this field and just thinking, if you were here in 1976, you would never have seen the Raiders lose a game. The Raiders won every game on this field that year. Ken Stabler, as a quarterback, was undefeated on this field that year. Not only did that, but he went to the playoffs and won there, then went to the Super Bowl and won there. So at the end of that, everyone was saying he's the greatest, including me, because he was, including his teammates, because they felt it. They knew that he was. And they started calling him, he's going to be a first vote Hall of Famer. 40 years later, he gets inducted. And it's not funny, but the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Fame does get it right. They just don't get it on time all the time. Ken, Ken Stabler was fun. He made fun for us all. He made memories for us all. And now being in the Hall of Fame, he's going to make memories for a lot of people forever and ever.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.